Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to look at verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. It says here, Matthew 28, 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." You know, I don't know if you can sense it. I don't know if you can feel it. Maybe I'm just crazy. But can you see that in these times, modern time, no matter where you are in the world, something is coming to a head? It almost, and I know a lot of people all throughout history have said, I believe Jesus is coming soon, but I do. And I could be wrong, but this world is getting more and more wicked. I keep thinking of things like COVID and all these things that are hitting our world. It's coming to a point where if you believe in this book, if you're a saved Christian, if you want to live for the Lord, it's getting to where there's no territory for you to live and do that. Remember back in the old days, people left and came to the new world and established a country where you could worship God freely. Where's the new world now? And we see so many times in Taiwan, we have the threat of China. In America, we have a leftist agenda. All over the world, it just seems like the door is closing little by little on so many of places that right now we're laboring for freely. Folks, I want to tell you something here tonight. I want us to see this in this passage and in other passages that we're going to speak on. If you and I don't give the gospel out, we're going to lose this thing. If you and I don't give the gospel out, it's over. It takes one generation to lose a country. It takes one generation to just let the world plunge in the darkness. And I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. God is powerful. God is working. It takes one generation to get it back. I believe that too. It can flip. If one generation will get serious and start going to bat and going to town and fighting a war, it can win it back. It can influence the next generation. But what I want to ask you here, if we can just be simple, be honest here. And I ask myself this. When is the last time that you purposefully tried to win someone to the Lord? I'm not saying did you give them a track. In fact, if you go to Taiwan and give them a track, it really... It's a couple verses. It means nothing. I don't know who Moses is, who Jesus is. None of this makes sense. We have our own holy writings. What's the Bible? You give them a tract, it doesn't mean anything. They're in like a deficit of knowledge about the Word of God. You have to start from the beginning and work to a point where Jesus even makes sense, why he came and died for me. So I'm not saying did you give someone a tract. I'm saying you tried to maneuver the conversation in a way where you could plead with that person, deliver the truth. You could tell them the gospel. You could inch them closer to a decision for Christ. When's the last time you did that? You look here, it says teach all nations, right? Teaching them to observe. Can I ask you, when's the last time, if you're a mature Christian, you taught someone younger than you in the faith and led them farther and closer and forward in their growth? When's the last time you took someone aside and discipled them? You trained them. You imparted something to them. I'm not saying you're working on the truck and things turn spiritual and so you say a couple things and that was a good conversation. I'm saying you might meet with them once a week. You might meet with them on purpose, with the purpose. I've learned so much. So many people have preached and I've written down notes. I've learned by experience. I've seen in God's word in my own time and I want to help you grow. I'm burdened about you because maybe you don't have the home life I did. Maybe you don't have the father figure I did. Maybe you don't have the people going to bat for you in your life that I did. But hey, spiritually, I'm for you. I want to help you to grow. When's the last time we did that? When's the last time I got so brokenhearted about someone who was lost in my family that I prayed with tears on my face and I said, I have to go tell them. Not, Pastor, can you go talk to them? I need to go tell them again. I need to grab them by the shoulders. I need to plead with them. When is the last time we got really serious about this fight? I got to ask myself that too. Because you know, we are so blessed, are we not? And we have so much, but you know what that does if we're not careful? 2 months passes. A year goes by. When is the last time? I'm so busy, but what am I really accomplishing? I'm doing a lot, but is it going to last? I got stuff. I got toys. I got comfort. I got family and we have get-togethers. But eternally, where are they going to be? The souls around me. We're the only thing that's going to leave this world. Where are we going? I'm burdened because, folks, we're in a war. And you know what's going to take to get the gospel out. You know what it's going to take to follow the Great Commission and see it through? It's going to take some grit. It's going to see some people that are willing to, like the Bible says in 2 Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. When times are easy, like there's a saying, right? There was an Islamic sheikh over in Arabia who said, I can't remember exactly how it goes. I just came to me, and I hope I can remember it now on the fly. But he said, my great-grandfather rode a camel. My grandfather rode a Range Rover. I drive a Mercedes. My son drives a Mercedes. But then my grandchild will drive a Range Rover, and then my great-grandchild will drive a camel again. And the point of that is great men build good times. Good times build weak men. Weak men create bad times. And my point is, if we're not careful, if we're not serious about this thing, what will the cost be? Because if I enjoy what I have, if I'm not serious about eternity, if I let the devil put the blinders over me and I live for now, this world, what is the cost? The only thing that matters are people. The only thing. My car doesn't matter. My house doesn't. None of that is going to last. And there's such a strong pull to that in this world. I remember being a young person. I remember being 18, and your life's in front of you. Anything is possible. Your dreams are ahead. It's hard to say no to all that and follow God. It's hard, you know, it's hard to have the faith to say God knows me better than I know myself. God knows how to fulfill my heart better than I know. That takes faith. Because I don't want to surrender what I want to do. It pulls to me. It calls to me. There's so much around me that screams, live for this world. Sometimes I tell people when we come off the mission field and we get to the States, it's almost like this cloud's kind of lifted off. You know, there's this oppressive darkness overseas. But when you get back, it's almost like, oh, I can breathe again. But, you know, I was thinking about that. We take that to mean the world is a dark place. But, you know, I was kind of thinking Satan has had control of places like Taiwan for thousands of years. You don't need your strongest soldiers there. You just need the maintenance crew. And yeah, when a missionary comes, you're going to attack him, but because there's like three Christians, they know your name, you got a target on your back. But if you think about it, wouldn't you want your strongest, your most deceptive, your most powerful soldiers to be in a place like America that's done so much for God? I don't need to attack Taiwan like that. It's already mine. I need new territory. You've been a thorn in my side. I'm so tired of you. Where's my sneakiest covert operatives? Let's send them there. Let's lull people to sleep. Let's cause them to not see down the road. Let's cause them to stop with all this fire. Let's give them blessing and good things even, because that distracts them from better, because that distracts them from what matters. To me, I think we're kind of in a situation here where we're in a war and we might be even facing the hardest people, the hardest of the enemy, because Satan, you can just think with me, at least humanly to me, it makes sense. He's dying to destroy America. All the missionaries that have been sent out, all the fire that's here, generations of Christians that you hand someone a tract, at least they have an idea who God is. That's different than a lot of the world. I mean, that's something. And if we're not careful, we forget we're in a war. What's needed is warriors, not wimps, right? What's needed is pioneers, not princesses. And if we're not careful, we become the other. We get lulled into something lesser that's worldly. Instead of letting God mold us, shape us, get us ready for the fight, instead of seeing that we're homesteading on a front line. And I worry about the future if we don't get serious about this thing of the Great Commission. Not that we send out missionaries, that's great. Not that we pray, not that we give, but that we personally are involved. I can send a missionary, one person, somewhere in the world. But then there's 20 of us, are we involved? Don't you see, each of us have to be involved where we're at, or we're not going to reach this world. I need to be involved. You need to be involved. Yes, I need to support missionaries myself. You do too. We need to pray for each other, but I need to be involved in this thing. It is personal. It takes grit. We have an enemy who hates our guts. You ever seen a lion on the prowl looking for whom he may devour? You know, that cold, intense focus that only a cat can have and staring at what it wants to hunt? It does that little through the bush. And then it's ghost in the darkness, you know. Satan is like that. And he's gunning for us. But who does he go for? He goes to the one that doesn't get the memo that we're all jumping right and jumps left and gets separated, right? He goes for the one where he thinks there's a weak point. He goes for the one who separates himself from the pack, from where there's strength, and thinks he can do it on his own. We have an enemy who's looking for whom he may devour. He doesn't have to, but he's looking and he's trying to get us. Did you know that communism can't stop the gospel from going out? Right, we're being threatened by China. We have my whole life, honestly. Who knows what will happen? But that's not going to stop the gospel. COVID's not going to stop the gospel. You know what stops the gospel? You and I. If we don't say, if we don't tell people, if we don't go personally, that stops the gospel. If I rely on someone else's stories of what happens on the mission field, the gospel starts to dwindle. Where's my stories? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? I want my own stories. Go ye therefore. And that's not just the 12 apostles, that's us. It takes grit. Can I say it takes patience? Run with patience, the race says before you, right? Some water, some sow, some reap the harvest. Can I tell you how frustrating it is to be on the field for 3 years so far and not a single of those people that I work with every single week are saved? But Lord, I need to write prayer letters. That's not a good prayer letter. Talked to Brady again. Came to a point of a decision. Still doesn't want to. Mike Chose. Still doesn't want to. On and on the list goes. It takes patience. And if we're not careful, the devil gets us to start relying on the arm of our flesh. We're working. We're focused on a result. We're focused on getting something done. And it stops being letting the Lord work through me. It stops being a right view of this thing. So I don't know why sometimes I sow and I water and someone else comes along and reaps. But it happens. And I might come along where someone else has sown and reaped. But it takes patience. And if we don't run with patience, if we stop halfway through, what will we miss? It's not just our rewards in heaven that we forfeit. It's that the fact that people go to hell for all eternity. It's saying takes patience on our part to run the whole thing to the end. Every single one of us. It also takes faith, right? The life of faith is exciting and it's also really, really scary. Sometimes I think, you know, if everything I do in my ministry can be done on autopilot, am I living in faith? Because what I see is faith is always beyond me. Moses, I want you to do this. No, I can't, right? Gideon, hey, I'm hiding. Every time you look, if faith demands stepping out into the uncomfortable. But if I'm doing everything on autopilot, am I missing something? I don't know, just me thinking. Is it just habit and duty? And praise God for good habits, but when I'm reading the Word of God, is it a Bible planner that I just check off, or am I actually walking with God? Is it real? Is it happening? Is the power there, the power that I need for my life? It takes faith. You know, the African impala is a really interesting animal. You know, just short antelope. They have insane jumping ability. I mean, they could jump like 12 feet, 15 feet tall. This whole platform in one bound. I mean, I guess if you're being chased by lions, you'd have to have like Olympian status high jump power, you know. But the impala is interesting because if you want to put them in a zoo, all you have to do is build a 3-foot high wall around their enclosure. They can easily jump over that. But they will stay trapped in a small enclosure as long as they can't see where their feet are going to land. Because they have to see where they're landing before they'll be willing to jump. And I see that with us, right? With faith. Faith says jump. But Lord, all I have is your word on it. Exactly. You don't see where your feet's going to land. But if you want to get out of this enclosure and grow, if you want to see what I can do through you, jump. That's your step. And we get trapped on step one. And we never grow past that. And we stagnate. And we stay here. And at the time we should be teachers, we still have need that others teach us the rudiments, right? We need to jump. It takes faith to get this thing done. The life of faith is scary, but it is so fulfilling. And then can I just say, it takes obedience. We need to hear and do, right? What does James say? And be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Sometimes we get the impression that sitting and hearing preaching is the same as doing it, and it's not. I hear, but am I doing? When I look into the mirror of God's word, what is actually changing? Because nothing is changing, if I'm hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing but not doing anything, I'm deceiving myself. I'm patting myself on the back, but I'm not actually fulfilling what God says to do. I'm not actually walking with the Lord in obedience. If ye love me, keep my commandments, he says. Sometimes we confuse a religion about God for being the same as a relationship with him, right? And they're not the same. So folks, I want to ask you very simply tonight. This thing is heavy on my heart, and I think about myself too. When is the last time you went? I'm not saying to the furthest part of the world, but God might want to call you to the mission field, and you're going to have to jump out of the enclosure by faith, or you're always going to be stuck in a small space. But I'm asking you, when's the last time you went out with the purpose, with this person? You prayed, you asked God, opportunity. Lord, give me an opportunity. Give me the words to say. Give me the wisdom. Give me the fire in my heart, the passion. Help me to see this person like you do. God, help me to go out. And I'm trying, I'm looking, I'm seeking for an opportunity to tell this person. And you gave them the gospel with the purpose to see them saved. When is the last time you helped to train someone, to teach someone, to grow them? You see them erring. You see them going a direction. And if they're willing to accept it from you, you help to bring them back. You who are older, helping the younger. You who are more mature in the faith, helping the less. When is the last time we did that? Because that's what this is talking about here in the Great Commission. That's how we get it done. And if we don't all do this personally, that is what will stop the gospel. That is what will cause the earth, this world, to get darker and darker. That is what will close the door on these different fields that right now are open. That is what will see this country darken into the devil won. And he successfully shut this place down. So folks, I just want to ask, are you taking it personally? Because that is what it's going to take. You and I taking it personally. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, can I just, I don't know, ask once again, when is the last time? And I ask myself that too. Now, I don't have any reason to doubt we're not already doing that. I'm not being down on anyone, but I'm just saying the example Paul gives in Scripture about the human body being an example of the church, you know, if the eye's, you know, jealous of the armpit, you know, or for some reason, you know, you remember that example, the body, every part of the body has to be doing its job. Everything has to be operating healthily or the whole system begins to decay. And here we are like a human body, this church. We all have something God wants us to do. Specifically, he wants to use us to do something. And if only 20% is operating, then I guess we're on a deathbed, right? Every single person. That's why God has us all in this church or in some church around the world. Because everyone needs to be involved. And God wants to use everyone specifically. He's designed us. He's put us in positions around certain people. None of it is an accident. None of it is by chance. We're his ambassadors. And if we will just do that with the people around us that we know, and every Christian did that, boy, we would make an impact on this world just from that. People can say no, but man, it would still brighten up a little bit of the darkness, I think. So all I'm asking is where are you with all of that? And I ask myself that too. So, Pastor Old.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just take the kindness of the moment to maybe pray for that one that God has laid on your heart. Pray for the opportunity, the right heart, for boldness, that they would be receptive. As the piano plays, however God has spoke to your heart, just pray for that one. You can come to the front and pray. You can pray there in your seat. One more verse. Lord, thank you for someone sharing the gospel with us. And Lord, I pray that we would follow suit and share the gospel with someone else. Work that opportunity out, that conversation, the timing. And Lord, may we be bold, trusting in you to give us the words that we need to say, to tell them the news that they need to hear, that you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.